Today's daf is Kuf Dalet. We're going to start the Mishnah at the bottom of Kuf Gimel Amud Bet. Okay. Kol HaKodeshim Shirabim Psul Kodem Lehev Shaitan Ein Orotehem LeKohanim LaCharif Shaitan Orotehem LeKohanim. Okay, now we're going to see that all Kodeshim, if you have a Psul before you took, if the meat was contaminated, it was became impure, something happened to it, before you remove the skin, the hide. So ein orotehen lekohanim. In that case, we view it all as one unit, and therefore, since the meat is nifsal, also the or is nifsal. But la'charif shaitan, but if it became disqualified after you already took off the hide, then the hide isn't considered connected with the meat.
It's not actually connected with the meat.
Well, it's not actually, but we'll see that some people maybe do connect it. In other words, so we're going to say we don't view it as connected anymore since they're not connected physically. Okay? But they are connected because they're all connected to the same korban. So according to this, they're viewed independently. Amar Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim, Miyamai lo ra'iti or shiyotze lebeit ha'srefa. He says, I've never ever seen or that was sent to be burned. Okay? So, Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is now going to say, Midvarav lamanu shamafshita tabachur v'nimtza trefa she'otu l'kohanim ba'oro. So Rabbi Akiva says, what can we derive from what Rabbi Chanina says? That if you flay the hide of the bechor, the animal that's given to the kohen, and then it turns out it was a trefa, this is a case where it was nifsal earlier, but we only found out later, once it was already flayed, that it was a trefa, and that actually the meat was pasul earlier when the hide was still attached. But we only found out later when the hide was not attached anymore. So we learn from Rabbi Chanina, because he says, I've never seen or she would celebrate a trefa, that he must have been referring to a case like this, that in that case, even though when the hide was still attached, the meat had been nifsal, just we didn't know it. It only happened later. So the kohanim in that case would get the or. The chachamim omrim, no, and lo ra'inu ra'aya. The fact that he never saw it, that's what is Rabbi Chanina's kind of kohanim. Remember who he is. He's the guy who we saw only once so far this Masechet, who comes and testifies about things that actually happened in the Mikdash. And he said, never seen that in my life. So they said, just because you've never seen it, doesn't mean it didn't happen. Ella yetzei lebeit hasreifa. Okay, he claims, the Chachamim claim, in that case, since in fact it was actually, there was never really a good shechita, because the animal was a treifa, we just only found out later, therefore the or follows the basar, and it should be burned, just like we're going to burn the meat. Okay. So now the Gemara, what it's going to do is it's going to bring the previous Mishnah and say that that Mishnah doesn't seem to work with this Mishnah. Okay,
what was the order of taking the skin off? Was it
right? Yafeh. So we're going to learn that. So generally, we're going to see, they really only took the skin off after Zrikat Dam. Okay, why? Because if they took it off before Zrikat Dam, and you shech the animal, you accept the blood, then, so you can tell me already, why wouldn't you have done the hefshet before you did the zrika? Because what are we worried about?
The blood control.
The blood, exactly. We don't want the blood to coagulate. So therefore, as soon as you accept the blood, we're going to do the zrika dam, and you're only going to do the hefshet after. However, we're going to discuss what about situations where you did the hefshet before, theoretically. Okay, even though in practice, probably it didn't really happen, and we're going to see that also. Kol shelo zacha mizbeach bibsara, lo zachu hakohanim ba'ora. So the previous Mishnah said that if the Mizbeach, you remember this, we saw this yesterday, if the Mizbeach didn't get to burn the meat because the meat was disqualified, then lo zachu ha-kohanim ba'ora, then the kohanim wouldn't get the hide. Va'af al-gav, and even if, here's your, what you just asked, de'if shetei le'or kodem zrika, even if the or came off, if it was flayed before the zrika, before the zrikatam, even so, even if it was taken off before Zrika, we're still going to view this all as one unit, and therefore, if the meat never became ra'or to go on the mizbeach, then the or is not going to go to the kohanim. Now, the Gemara is going to say that line. In other words, right now, what they're going to say is that they're assuming. Okay, so let me clarify. The Mishnah said, "Kol shelo zachah mizbeach v'sarah lo zachu hakohanim ba'ora." Period. The Gemara is going to assume right now that what do we mean? Even if it was taken off before Zrika, and also really, even though it doesn't say this inside, before the meat was contaminated, was, you know, impure. So, or disqualified would be the right word. So before the meat was disqualified, you take off the or, the assumption is that the previous Mishnah says, it doesn't matter whether the or was attached to the meat or wasn't attached to the meat. When the meat became disqualified, the or immediately becomes disqualified because as long as the meat doesn't go on the Mizbeach, the or doesn't go to the Kohanim. It sounds that way, right? In other words, the previous Mishnah connected the or going to the Kohanim to the meat being burned in the Mizbeach. So now they're going to say, even though, and part of the problem is even though they didn't generally do this all before Zrikat Dam, right? They would generally not flay it before that. But if in theory they had, the assumption is, and it got disqualified, then since it never went on the Mizbeach, so the or wouldn't go to the Kohanim. So who does this go according to? Mane, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimoni. This must match, okay, the assumption we just made from the previous Mishnah must match the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. We don't know yet what he says. De'amar, now they're going to tell us, Ein hadam miratzeh ala or b'fnei atzmo. What does that mean? That if you were to sacrifice, if you were to sprinkle the blood on a korban that is already, the meat is nifsal, that the dam is not going to be miratzeh on the or, meaning, what does it mean miratzeh? That's the ritzo we saw with the tzitz, right? The tzitz is miratzeh, for example, on something that was tameh. So if you ended up sacrificing tameh meat, the tzitz is going to take care of that, right? Or a person was tameh. So what we're going to say here is, according to Rabbi Elazar of Shimon, the dam, you can already look in the first chart, if the or is on its own, right, if it was already flayed and the meat was disqualified, the sprinkling of the blood, let's say you did sprinkle the blood, even though you're not really in theory supposed to because it's already disqualified, but if you were to sprinkle the blood, it would not be miratzeh on the or, meaning what would have to happen to the or? It would have to be burned, right? It wouldn't go to the kohanim. It would be disqualified. So now we're going to say, right, so that seems to match the previous Mishnah. Follow? Because the previous Mishnah said, as long as the meat doesn't go on the Mizbeach, the or doesn't go to the Kohanim, which means that the dam is not going to affect Ritzoy for the or. So that would match Rabbi Shimon Elazar's opinion. I'm sorry, Rabbi Shimon's opinion. The problem is, Ema Seifa, our Mishnah seems to say otherwise. Our Mishnah seems to match Rabbi Shimon's counterpart, the guy who argues with him, which is going to be Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Because the Seifa, which is our Mishnah, in other words, again, they always view the Mishnayot as a retzef, right, as a continuum. So the previous Mishnah seemed to match Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon's opinion, who says that the dam is not miratzeh on the or, and if the meat's not going to go on the Mizbeach, then the or gets burned also. But the next Mishnah, our Mishnah, which says, Kol HaKodeshim Shira Bahem Psul Kodem Hef Sheitan Ein Orotehem LaKohanim, right? If the psul was before the hive was flayed, then it doesn't go to the Kohanim. But la'charef sheitan, right? What did it say in our Mishnah? After you take off the hide, orotehen la'kohanim, meaning the meat could be disqualified. It doesn't go on the Mizbeach, right? But yet, the Zrikat Adam is going to affect Ritzoy for the or, and the or can go then to the Kohanim. And that's Atan the Rebbe, because Rebbe says, interestingly enough, we're going to see the Machlok of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon in a few minutes. The Gemara is only going to get to it at the end of the Sugya and say, oh, by the way, where was the Machlok at? But anyway, it goes according to Rebbe, who says, Hadam miratzeh la or b'fnei atzmo. Rebbe says that if the or is b'fnei atzmo, it's already disconnected from the meat, then when the dam gets sprinkled, again, we already said, remember, that generally that wouldn't happen. Because generally, we only flay it after the Zrikat Dam. But if we were to have flayed it before, then the dam would be miratzeh on the or, and the or could go to the Kohanim. So that seems to match our Mishnah. So now they're going to say, as right, classic question, Reisha Rav Lezer Rav Shimon Sefer Rebbe, you're going to have the beginning part of the Mishnah, or you know, the previous Mishnah, match one opinion, and the next Mishnah match another opinion, which we have no problem if it does that. But generally, when it does that, it says, this is so-and-so's opinion, this is someone else's opinion. Here, it kind of it reads as one continuum. It doesn't make any sense. So Amar Abaye, Midaseifa Rebbe, so we're going to have two answers. Midaseifa Rebbe hi, Reisha Nami Rebbe hi. Really, everything's going to match Rebbe. We're going to say, even the first case is Rebbe. Now, what was the first case? The first case was, if you add a psul, lozacham is be'ach b'sara, lozachua konim ba'ora. How could we say that? Because in theory, if you flayed the animal before the zrika, it would work according to Rebbe. So very simply, Rebbe's going to say, umo de Rebbe, she'en hefshei kodim zrika. We just never do hefshei before zrika. So generally, if the meat would not go on the mizbeach, it's because it was contaminated already, it was, you know, disqualified already earlier, right? In other words, it was disqualified when the hide was connected, and that's why the hide will never go on the mizbeach, because the hide is always connected to the meat before zrika, because the hefshet never happens until after zrika. Rava Amar, Rava gives a different answer. Midereisha Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Sefer Nami Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so one's going to explain both Mishnayot according to Rabbi. The other's going to explain both Mishnayot according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. So now we're stuck with our Mishnah. How are we going to explain our Mishnah? So our Mishnah, remember it said, before your mafshe, right? If Irab Emsul Kodem Hef Shaitan, Ein Arotehan Lekoanim. But if it was Lachar Hef Shaitan, then Arotehan Lekoanim. So how are we going to explain Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, who says that the dam is not maratzah on the or? So if it happened before the hefshetan, I'm sorry, if it happened after you already flayed the animal, then the orot should go, I'm sorry, then even if it was lachar hefshetan, orotan shouldn't go to the kohanim. He says the orotan should always be burned. So my kodem hefshet, umay achar hefshet, kodem shenir'u lehefshet, and achar shenir'u lehefshet. It doesn't mean before they were flayed and after they were flayed. They mean before Zrika. Okay? It means if it was done before Zrika, if the psul happened before Zrika, then even if, right, they were separated, it doesn't make a difference because Zrika doesn't affect anything for the or. That was his whole shita. So if it happened before Zrika,
if it became disqualified
before the Zrika, then we're going to say, the whole, even if the or had been flayed, it doesn't make a difference. The or goes with the basar. But if it was after Zrika, and it was flayed, and then the meat gets disqualified already after Zrika, and the whole machloka was about the dam. Does the Zrika dam affect something for the or? Once the Zrika dam happens, that matures the meat and the or. The or already went to the Kohanim. And the basar is supposed to go on the mizbeach. At that point, even Rav Elazar Rav Shimon will say that once the zrika happens, then the or already went to the kohanim. We can't take away their zchut to the or just because the meat got disqualified. So you have to change the meaning of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah said kodem efshet and lachar efshet. What he means really is kodem zrika and lachar zrika. And the Gemara tries to resolve it by saying, or Rava tries to resolve it by saying, what we really mean is ra'oy lehefshet, because when are you ra'oy lehefshet? Once you do the zrika. So that's it. There's ain't a ra'oy lehefshet and ra'oy lehefshet. Okay. Or whatever. Before near ulehefshet and after near ulehefshet. My Rebbe, my Rebbe Elazar Rabbi Shimon. Okay, now we're finally going to get to their shitot. Okay, for this, as I charted all this out before, the flow. Now we're going to get to the actual machloket, because it's more developed than we saw. D'tanya Rebbe Omer, hadam meratzah la'or b'fnei atzmo. That's what we saw, right? This is if the or was already flayed before the zrika. So if the or was flayed before the zrika, again, Rebbe's going to say, the dam is meratzah, and therefore the or is going to go to the kohanim. U'kishehu im habasar, what if it was still attached to the meat? If nolah bo psul, right? Let's read it like this. U'kishehu im habasar nolah bo psul, if the psul happened to the meat while it was still at the skin, the hide was still attached. Bein kodem zrika, bein la'achar zrika, hareyu kayotze bo. In other words, as long as it's attached to the flesh, it's all treated the same. Whether there was zrika, whether there wasn't zrika, no matter what, he views it as attached. And when it's not attached, right, he says, if it wasn't attached before the zrika, then we can say that the dam is miratze. In other words, he says, kol od, it's attached, it's attached. It's going to follow the meat across the board, before Zrika, after Zrika. But if it's not attached before, in other words, even though he himself admitted that it almost never happens, but if you were to afflate it before the Zrika, then the Zrika would affect atonement for the Or, which means the Or would go to the Kohanim. But Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omer, we're going to see that there's three cases here, basically. That's why I tried it out. There's the Or by itself before Zrika, right, where you flayed it before Zrika. Then there's where it's attached. It wasn't flayed yet, and the meat became contaminated before Zrika. It's going to follow, right? Then everyone's going to agree. In that case, everyone agrees that the Or is going to go with the meat. And then there's the case where the Or is with the meat, meaning it wasn't flayed yet, and it was nifsal after Zrika. So they're going to have a machloket about case number one and case number three. So now comes Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, and he says, Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ein Hadam Ratzel or Bifnatzmo. So in other words, if you flayed it before Zrika, the dam is not going to help you. The Or goes with the meat. Okay, and this is why I said, even though it's not attached, it still goes together with it. This is considered one and the same. So if the dam is not going to be Maratzel on the meat, then it's also not going to be Maratzel on the Or. And if it's still attached, then it's going to depend. If the psul happened before you did the sprinkling of the blood, then we're going to treat it all the same. That if the meat was contaminated, right? As long as it's together still, once the meat becomes disqualified, also the hide is going to be disqualified. But if it's la'achar zrika, hurtza basar sha'achat, once hurtza basar sha'achat, in other words, once the meat was allowed, in other words, once the zrika happened, what happens? The meat is now allowed to go on the mizbeach, and the hide is allowed to go to the kohanim. So since you had ritzoy of the basar for sha'achat, but then the meat became disqualified, yafshitenu vo'oro la'kohanim. Okay, we're basically going to say at that point, we flay it, and the Or still goes to the Kohanim. Because again, the Kohanim basically own that Or. It's theirs at that point. It's almost like a Dine Mamonot. We can't take it away from them because it became theirs. Okay, so in that case, they also have a Machloket. Okay, so there we're going to say that Rav Elazar, Rav Shimon, even though they're together, we can still view them as separate. As opposed to Rebbe, who said, even though they're separate, we can still view them as together. Right? Okay. Now they want to suggest, talking about this Machloket, that maybe their Machloket is based on an earlier Machloket Tanaim. Okay, often they do that, and then sometimes they take a machloket Amoraim, and they say, oh, this is based on a machloket Tanaim. Here, we're going to take two later Tanaim, right? We know that Rebbe's later because he was the last, right? He's the one who put together the Mishnah. We're going to say that maybe his machloket between him and Rebbe Elazar Rishimon actually lines up with another machloket, which I also charted out for you on the sheet, but another machloket Tanaim between Rebbe Yeshua and Rebbe Eliezer. So now they're going to say, Lema, why don't we suggest that Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yeshua, come if we get. Remember, when we say Lema, what are we going to do in the end? We're going to reject this. Okay? If we just say Kitanai, then we say it's a Machloka Tanaim. It's based on a Machloka Tanaim, and that means we're going to. But if we say Lema, Kitanai, or Lema, Baha Kamifleg, then let's suggest, then it's always going to be rejected. V'asita olotecha habasar v'hadam. Now, this is a bit of a strange pasuk. Why? It says, you should do your olot. What should it be? What's the order of doing the olah? First you do the dam, then you do the basar and the mizbeach. So it should say, hadam v'habasar. So why does it say, habasar v'hadam? Comes Rabbi Yeshua and he darshins. Im ein dam, ein basar. Im ein basar, ein dam. Okay, it says very simply, if you don't sprinkle the blood, then we don't burn the meat. And if you don't burn the meat, then we don't sprinkle the blood. Okay? Rabbi Elazar Omer, dam afa pishein basar. Since it says in another pasuk, "V'dam zvachecha yishafech," that seems to imply you sprinkle the blood no matter what, even if the meat was disqualified. Now, how is this going to match up? Because if you say you sprinkle the dam anyway, then you would say what? That the dam is miratzeh on the Or. So Rabbi Eliezer would match, and a Rebbe would match Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Because what's the point of sprinkling the blood if the meat's disqualified and the Or is disqualified? The only point must be that, right, if you're still going to sprinkle the blood, not necessarily connected to the meat, it must be that the dam is meratzeh on the Or. So now, just let's continue in the Braita for a minute. Now they're going to say, if he understands, dam zvechecha yishafech comes to say, even if there's no basar, then you still sprinkle the blood. By the way, when would there be no basar? Two options. It was disqualified, or the meat got lost. Okay, some of you lost the pieces of meat, so you would still sprinkle the blood according to him. According to the first opinion, Rabbi Yeshua, you wouldn't. Now the question is going to be, what does he do with this pasuk? Imke matamu lamar basita olotecha basar v'adam. How does he darshan that pasuk if he doesn't darshan it to say the way Rabbi Yeshua did? Lomar lecha, ma dam bezrika, af basar bezrika. To teach you that just like you do dam bezrika, in other words, the hasita lotecha basar v'adam is to teach you that the basar is done in the same way as the dam. How do you do the dam? You throw it. How do you do the basar? You throw it. Remember, we learned that whole thing about there was that space between the ramp and the mizbeach, and that's because they would remind them as they went up the ramp that they had to throw it. This is where he learns the halacha that basar is bezrika. Halamadata sherevach yesh ben kevesh lemizbeach. Right from here, we learn there's a space between the ramp and the mizbeach. So now the Gemara is going to connect the machloket tanaim. Lema manda amar hurtza. Say the one who says there is ritzoy for the or. Kirabi Eliezer. Umanda amar lo hurtza. Kirabi Yoshua, the one that says there's no ritzoy, would say like Rabbi Yoshua, that if the dam is already nifsal, it's pasul, then what are we going to do? We're not going to sprinkle the blood, because what's the blood going to do for us? Nothing. Okay? And that would match up. So now they're going to say, well, not exactly. Aliba de Rabbi Eliezer, kuleyama lo pligi. Okay, what does that mean, kuleyama lo pligi? It means that Rabbi Yoshua matches Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon. It means that Rabbi Eliezer clearly works with Rebbe and can't be worked out with Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon. There's no way that if you still sprinkle the blood, there's no way Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon, Shita can match with that, because he says the dam is not Maratzel in the Or. There's no point to sprinkle the blood. So he clearly can't work out with that Shita. So clearly you'd have to say, according to Rabbi Eliezer, right, it only matches Rebbe. Rebbe fits in only with Rabbi Eliezer. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shimon can't fit. But ki pligi aliba de Rabbi Yoshua. But we could suggest that even within Rabbi Yoshua, both opinions can fit, which would then show it's not necessarily machloka tanaim. That it could be a machloka tanaim, but it could be that both of them could explain Rabbi Yoshua lishitatam. How so? Manda amar lo hurtza ke Rabbi Yoshua. Fine. Very simply, if you say the dam is lo maratza and the or, then you would say exactly like. Wait, I said it wrong before, right? No, I said it. Right, exactly. Okay. So according to Rabbi Yoshua, right, you don't sprinkle the blood. So now, if you say the dam is not meratzeh, so clearly you fit in very simply. So Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon fits in very easily with Rabbi Yoshua. The question is going to be, how do we fit in Rebbe with Rabbi Yoshua? So what are we going to say here? Manda amar hurtza. Okay, Rebbe, who says the dam is meratzeh on the or, amar lecha, he'll say, ad kan lo kam Rabbi Yoshua hatam ela bebasar, delei kapseda lekoanim. He was only talking about if there's no basar, because, and as he was only talking about the meat. If the meat is nifsal, then we're not zorek the dam, because there's no hepsed lekoanim to basically, he was talking about the basar, where there's no hefseid lekoanim, aval or de'ikapseid lekoanim. But if there was a case where the or was separate, right, and then as he was talking about where there was meat and that's all there was and the meat was disqualified, but if there was or where there would be a hefseid lekoanim, afilu Rabbi Yoshua modeh, as the meat anyway, right, is not a hefseid for the koanim. So we're basically going to say, because the meat anyway was going to be burned on the mizbeach. Remember, we're talking about an ola. In ola, the meat all gets burnt on the mizbeach. So it's either going to get burnt on the mizbeach, or if we say it's disqualified, then what are we going to do? Then we're going to burn it. We'll see where today. Okay, we'll see soon where you're going to burn it. Okay, it's going to be the Beit HaDeshen. Okay, I'll already give you a sneak preview. If you look next to the ramp of the mizbeach, there's the Beit HaDeshen. On the eastern side of the ramp, there's a little square there on the map called the Beit HaDeshen. Okay? So it's the eastern side, meaning the side away from the Hechal. Okay? So on the eastern side, there was the Beit HaDeshen, and that's where they're going to burn it. They're not going to burn it on the Mizbeach, they're going to burn it there. There's no loss for anybody. But if you're talking about the Or, he'll say, oh, there's a loss, then you would sprinkle the blood. Afilu Rabbi Yeshua Modeh. Midi Dehavi Adiavad. Just like a case where there was a bidyevet situation. We'll explain in a minute. Ditnan, although there's a bit of a different nuschaot here, what exactly this means. Ditanya nitma basar onifsal, o shiatza chutz leklaim, Rabbi Eliezer omer yizrok. Okay, so here, if the basar becomes tameh, or disqualified, or it got taken out, right? It was psul yotze, right? There's three types of psulim we could talk about. Rabbi Eliezer omer yizrok. He says, you sprinkle the blood anyway. Rabbi Yoshua omer lo yizrok. So Rabbi Yoshua says, no, we're not zorek the dam. That matches their opinions here, right? Because he says, if the basar is nifsal, lo zorkim et hadam. Rabbi Eliezer says, yes, zorkim et hadam. But what does Rabbi Yoshua continue to say? Umote Rabbi Yoshua she'im zarak hortze. But he does say that b'dieved, if you were zorek the dam, then there is ritzoi. So what do you see here? They say, just like he says that b'dieved it would work, we would assume also that if the hive is already flayed, then it would also work. If you did it anyway, you sprinkled the blood. Now, even though he thinks you shouldn't sprinkle the blood, if you did and the hive is already separated before, then it would be meratzah on the hide. And that's how he would fit in with Rabbi Yoshua would agree, even though Rabbi Yoshua says, if the dam is nifsal, or you zorek the dam, he would agree that even though you don't, if you did, b'dieved it would work, and then if the or had already been flayed, then it would also be meratzah on the or. Okay, that's how we would explain it. So therefore, it's not necessarily a machloka tani. Okay, now we're moving on in the Mishnah. So Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim said, remember he said, Miyamailo ra'iti or shiotze lebeta strefa. Okay, so he says, right, in other words, the first part of the Mishnah, it said, kol ha-kodeshim shirabem sul kodem lev shaitan ein orotan lekohanim, which would mean, even if the or was flayed, I didn't really specify this, but what we're saying there is, even if we have flayed the or, okay, in other words, here he says, if the psul was before you were mafshit, and then you were mafshit, so now we have to burn the hide, right? It's disqualified. Rabbi Chanina said, no, I've never seen that happen. It doesn't happen. So now they're going to say, Velo, you've never seen them burn the hide of animals, but I could give you situations where the hide was burnt. Hare parim anisrafim usirim anisrafim. What happens to the parim anisrafim and sirim anisrafim? What are these? There's the par halim davishul tzibur, the par kohen gadol, right? All those, the ones, all the chataot hapnimiot. What happens to them? You do the avoda inside the hechal, and then you take it out, you remember, outside Yerushalayim. It goes outside the three machanot, and you burn it in the Beit HaDesh and outside Yerushalayim. And what do you burn? You burn the meat, and you burn the skin. So what do you mean you've never seen them burn the skin? All the Parim and Israfim and the Sirim and Israfim, all of them, get the or gets burned. So what does he answer? L'mitzvatan. Lo ka'amrina, and I wasn't talking about when there's a mitzvah. I was talking about, I've never seen them burn or that became disqualified. I wasn't talking about a case with or is chayav to be burned because that's the mitzvah to burn it. So that answers his question. Now they're going to say, but what about kodem hefshet v'kodem zrika? What if the meat was disqualified before you flayed the hide and before you did zrika? What would happen to the hide? You'd have to burn it with the meat, right? So there's a case where the hide clearly gets burned. Everybody agrees about that. I'm sure that must have happened in the Mikdash. That's just a basic case of you have an animal in the Mikdash. Let's say you shecht it. Someone touches it, who's tame, it becomes tame. You have to burn it all. You don't say, oh, take the skin off and don't burn the skin. Of course we don't do that. We burn the skin with it. So he says, chalutz kamrina, and I meant a case where the hide was separate from the animal. In that case, the hide gets burned together with the animal. So I wasn't talking about that. V'ha'ika achar hefshet b'kodem zrika. What about a case where you did hefshet and it was before zrika? L'rabbi Elazar b'rabbi Shimon, da'amar ein hadam ratzeh la'or b'fnei atzmo. Now they say, what about if you hold like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon? If you hold like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon and you took the skin off the animal before you did the Zrika, according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, Ein Hadam Meratzeh, which means you need to burn it. So they now ask him, according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, of course they must have done cases where the hide was flayed before Zrika and then they would have to burn it. So either you can say, Rabbi Chanina Kerebi Svirale, you could say very simply, he just didn't hold like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. In other words, he says, we don't hold that way. So yes, it's true that if we held like Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, there would be theoretically a case like this, and maybe actually a case like this, but we don't hold by him, and that could be an answer. Or, Ibaid Ema, Afilu Tukma Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, even if you hold the Kvar Lazer Rav Shimon, this goes back to what Judy asked before, Mo de Rebbe she'en afshei kodem zrika. Rebbe said before, we already quoted that, and that's, and even though Rebbe said it, the assumption is everybody agreed with this, because also mode means he admitted to Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon, meaning everyone agrees, that you never do have shape before you do Zerika. So, yes, it's true, theoretically, maybe there would be a case according to Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon, but we don't hold that way. The first answer is we don't hold that way. The second answer is we would never have a situation like that. Now, maybe we do hold like it, but there would never be a situation like that because we never do that because we're worried about the blood coagulating. So we would never do the half shape before Zerika. Okay, another question. So we still don't have really an answer. Vaha'ika nimtse, and that is really a question. These are all questions. Rabbi Chanina, what do you mean you never saw it? There's all sorts of situations where this could happen. How about this case? Nimtse trefa bibnei me'ayim. What if you find out that it was a trefa in the end? In other words, again, you slaughtered it, and then you found out later that it was a... You slaughtered it, you did zrika, you took off the skin, and then you find out that the meat was contaminated. It was nipsal previously because it was a trefa. So kasavar, you'd have to say he holds, nimtzas trefa bebeit ha-me'ayim miratze. Nimtzay trefa bebeit ha-me'ayim miratze. You'd have to say that he holds that if you find out later, and it's once you already flayed the hide, when you then find out, right, it's all a matter of by what moment do we go by? Do we go by the moment that was actually slaughtered, in which case it was already no good? Or do we go by the moment we found out? If from the moment we find out the skin is already separate from the flesh, then we're going to say the skin is judged independently, and we're going to say it goes to the Kohanim. So that's why he said we wouldn't burn it in that case. And how can we further prove this? Daikanami dekatane, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Midvarav Lamanu. And not only that, but it says exactly this. And this was the case that the Mishnah said, that Rabbi Akiva says, we can derive from Rabbi Chanina exactly this. Midvarav Lamanu, Shamafshita Tabachor Venimsa Trefa, Shiaotu Akoanim Baoro. Right? We can derive from him, and this is exactly why they derived it from him, because he's saying there can't possibly be a case. And if there can't be a case, then this could be a potential case that would have happened. That you might have thought we burned the skin, because when we read the Mishnah, we didn't really understand where Rabbi Akiva came from. Now we see where Rabbi Akiva comes from. Rabbi Akiva is saying, if he says that there's never a case, then it must be if there was a case where the animal became, we found out later that it was a trefa and the hide was already off, we'll give that hide to the Kohanim, because otherwise that would be a classic case where you would burn it. So now, Shema Amina. So we can infer that that's what Rabbi Chanina meant. So if now, it doesn't make so much sense though. Because if that's the real case that Rabbi Chanina is talking about, then why does Rabbi Akiva need to spell that out? In other words, if it's obvious, then why would Rabbi Akiva spell out something that was obvious? Elamai kamashmalan, Rabbi Akiva. Then what is Rabbi Akiva coming to teach us? If that's really his chidush, that that's the case he's referring to, then once we understood that, we wouldn't need Rabbi Akiva to tell us that. Now, obviously, we didn't really understand. We wouldn't have understood it on our own, but they're assuming if that's really the only case that could be, then what's Rabbi Akiva teaching us? So now they're going to say that Rabbi Akiva is teaching us an additional case. Until now, we assumed we're only talking about animals in the Beit HaMikdash, right? And that what happens? The Zrika affects the ability to give the order to the Kohanim. So we're talking about a case that happened in the Beit HaMikdash, and the moment of Zrika is the critical one. If we find out only after Zrika that the animal was a trefa previously, then the Zrika still allows us to give the order to the Kohanim, because the Zrika affected the giving of the order to the Kohanim, even though later we found out that retroactively, really before, it had been pasul. So comes Rabbi Akiva and he's teaching us afilu bigvulim. What does that mean? Outside the Mikdash. When do you have a bechor outside the Mikdash? If a bechor became a balmum, what would happen? It goes to the Kohen, and the Kohen can eat it, he can shecht it even outside the Beit HaMikdash. Now, what's the moment of Zrika in that case? There is no Zrika, but it's the moment of Shechita. So he's now going to tell us that afilu bigvulin, Amar b'chia bar Abba, Amar b'yachanan, even bigvulin, let's say there was a case where you shechted, there was a balmum, there was a b'chor, so they gave it to the Kohen, the Kohen's allowed to shecht it wherever he wants. He shechts it, then he finds out it's a trefa. The Shechita already permitted him to have the skin. Okay? So now, Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, halachak Rabbi Akiva. But now they say, but va'af Rabbi Akiva lo amar ela kashi tiru mumche. Aval lo itiru mumche lo. This would only work when a mumche had permitted the bechor. Because if a mumche hadn't permitted the bechor, then the shechita wouldn't affect giving the, or if the Kohen decided on his own, oh, this looks like a baal mum, I'm just going to decide on my own. That doesn't work. It has to be there was a mumche. Otherwise, the shechita is not parallel to Zrika. But then they say, no, in fact, the halach is like chachamim. basar b'kfura v'ha'or b'sreifa. There's a bit of a debate whether it's a basar b'kfura or a basar b'sreifa, but there's a debate, I'm not going to get into this, about whether you bury, there's certain cases where you bury the flesh, and the or would then be burnt. Okay, so we don't actually agree with Rabbi Hanina here that we don't burn it, but actually there are cases where the or is burnt. Parim ha'nisrafim u'sirim ha'nisrafim. New Mishnah. Now we're going to get into this, now that we've mentioned these parim ha'nisrafim u'sirim ha'nisrafim. Bizman shehem nisrafim kimitzvatan nisrafim bebeit ha'deshen. We're going to now see that there's three different places where things are burned, and we're going to talk about where you burn things for various things. So let's start with the things that get burned. So the parim ha'nisrafim get burnt le'mitzvah, right, and the sirim ha'nisrafim. So if everything was done kemo shetzarich, they get burned in the Beit HaDeshen, which is the Beit HaDeshen that's outside Yerushalayim. Right, it's confusing because they also call this Beit HaDeshen. Umitamim begadim, and it says in the Pasuk, the one who burns the chatat of the chatat apnimi, the one who burns it, he becomes tameh, and it also makes his clothes tameh. V'imeinam nisrafim kemitzvatam, if they're not burnt because of the mitzvah, but they get burnt because they become disqualified, nisrafim bebeit habira, ve'inam mitamim begadim. Then, so Rashi says, where's the Beit HaBira? Sometimes in the Azara, sometimes in Har HaBayit, as we're going to explain in the Gemara. And the person who burns that, even though he's burning the same chatat, but he's not burning it for the mitzvah, so what do we say? He doesn't burn it. It's not mitameh begadim. The tumah begadim only happens when you burn it all the way outside. Now we're going to describe how they would take these parim ha'nisrafim outside. Imagine, it's a big par, right? How do you carry it? Hayusov limotau oto b'motot. They would carry it out on these big poles. And now the question is, when do they become tameh? Yatzu arishonim. So now you have four people carrying a stretcher, right? What happens? First, the first ones go out. As soon as they go, chutz l'chomata azara, v'achronim lo yatzu, harishonim etamim begadim, v'achronim enam etamim begadim, ad shiyetzu. Okay? Yatzu, elu ve'elu mitamim begadim. So basically, you have the Azara. Remember, what's the Azara? It's inside Shaar Nikanor. There's the Azara Yisrael, the Azara Konim, and then the Hechal. So outside Shaar Nikanor, that's already outside the Azara. So as the first ones go out, they're already become tameh immediately. What the Tanakhami here is saying is, it's not only the person who burns it, it's all the people who lead up, and it starts from the moment they leave the Azara. So the first ones become tameh and metameh begadim as soon as they leave the Azara, and then the later ones become when they leave the Azara, another few seconds later. Rabbi Shimon Omeri namatamim ad shiutzata or berubam. He says, until the fire goes in the majority of the animal, they're not metameh. There's a big debate whether this means, at that point, everyone who dealt with it previously or everyone who dealt with the fire is tameh. Everyone who dealt with the burning is tameh at the moment that yutzata or beruban, or maybe it's only the people who were involved at that point. Like, let's say you started the fire and then you walked away. So there's a debate about whether Rabbi Shimon would say you're chayv or not, would be mitameh or not. Either he says you become mitameh at a later stage, once the burning really takes over most of the animal, or he'd say, no, only the people who were involved at that moment become tameh. So it's a debate. Nitacha basar, what if it's already totally burnt, but you're still dealing with, then somebody comes to deal with the fire, ain't a saref metameh begadim. Since the main act is already done, you're not metameh begadim at that point. In other words, again, someone who gets involved later would not be. My bira. Okay, so now the Gemara wants to understand, where is this place called the bira? Amarab barbarchan, amarab yochanan, makom yesh baharabayat ubira shmo. There was a specific place in Harabayat that was called the bira, and that's where this in-between Beit HaDeshen was. Virish lakish amar, kol habayat kulo karoi bira. Shneemar, Habira Sherachinoti. Okay, the other approaches say it wasn't a place, it's the whole Har HaBayit area is called the Bira. And that, a pasuk from Shlomo that calls the Beit HaMikdash the Bira. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Ravua. Shlosha Beit HaDeshanin hin. Okay, there's three places that there was a Beit HaDeshan. Beit HaDeshan Gadol Haya Ba'azara, Shesham Sorfim Psulei Kodshe Kodshim V'Imurei Kodshim Kalim, Uparim Anisrafim U'Sirim Anisrafim, She'ira Behem Psul Kodim Zrika. Okay, so according to the first opinion here, that Beit HaDeshen that we saw inside the Azara, right next to the ramp, is for any kind of korban that became pasul before Zrika. Ubeit HaDeshen acher haya b'har habayit, shesham sorfim, parim anisrafim, usirim anisrafim, shiira b'hem psul achar Zrika. if you have parima nisrafim or sirima nisrafim that had a psul after zrika, in other words, everything else after zrika would still be done on the inside Beit HaDeshen. But these specific ones, why? Why are they different? Because they're anyway supposed to be burnt outside. So if it's after zrika, we're going to burn them in the Beit HaBira, okay? In the outer part, the part that's somewhere on the Har HaBayit still, but not in the Azara. Uchemitzvatan, and if you burn it kimitzvatan, the parim nisrafim and the sirim nisrafim, chutz l'shalosh machanot. Then there was the third Beit HaDeshen, which was outside Yerushalayim. Tani Levi, but Levi has a different approach. Shoshla Beit HaDeshanin hen, Beit HaDeshen gadol haya ba'azara, shesham srofim psulei kodshe kodshim, v'imurei kodshim kalim, uparim nisrafim, usirim nisrafim, shira ba'em sul, ben kodim zrika, ben la'achar zrika. Okay, he says, doesn't matter whether it's before Zrika, after Zrika, everything gets burned that's pasul in the Beit HaDeshen. So now we're obviously going to have to figure out, well, what was in the Beit HaBira. Ubeit HaDeshen acher haya b'har habayit, shesham srofim parim nisrafim usirim nisrafim, shira b'em sul b'yitziatan. Those are the only ones that go out, right? Everything else stays in the Azara. If those went out on the way to be burned, and then they became pasul, then you don't burn them chutz l'shalosh machanot in their real place. You burn those in the Har HaBayit in this bira. And uvichem mitzvatan chutz l'shalosh machanot. Okay, when you do a mitzvatan, then okay. So they disagree only about that one case. By Rabbi Yirmiya. Now we're going to have a whole slew of questions. Lina, ma'u shetoil b'parim anisrafim b'sirim anisrafim. What did we say? If you have meat that you're supposed to be eating, right, and then you leave it overnight, so the meat becomes, it's called psulina, right? What if you have the parim nisrafim with the sirim nisrafim are a little bit different? Because what happens with lina? If you have a psulina, you're supposed to burn it, right? But psulina seems to be connected with, you shouldn't leave it overnight, it's meat that gets eaten. So mi amrina ki mahanya lina bebasar, and even if it's basar that doesn't get eaten, at least it's basar that was debar achila. It was supposed to be eaten, right? So do you say that lina is connected with the, it only has a psul lina if it's something that can be eaten? Aval hane delav b'nei achila ninu, but since this meat is not supposed to be eaten, lo, maybe there's no psul of lina. O dil maloshna, or maybe lina has nothing to do with whether or not the meat is supposed to be eaten. Amarava, ha milti baile la baye, upashtana le meha. I asked Abaye this question, Rava says, and he answered me from here, right? You always see them arguing here. It's nice. Rava asked Abaye a question, Abaye answered. Vishavin she'im chishev ba'achilat parim u'besrei patan lo asav lo klum. So now he says, here's a source that says that the parim anisrafim and the sirim anisrafim are the same in the fact that if you had a machshava pigul le'echol chutz lizmano or chutz limkomo, there's no psul pigul here, okay? Because you don't eat the meat anyway, right? Remember, pigul is usually, I'm going to eat the meat at a particular time or at a particular place, which I'm not allowed to. But since there is no eating of the meat anyway, there's no machshava pigul that's going to mess it up. There is no pigul. So my lav, so come, has Rabbi learned from here to our case? He says, is it not the mid machshava lo pasla, lina lami lo pasla? He wants to connect machshava and lina. He says, since there's no machshava of pigul, so maybe lina also, and as he assumes, lina also. So the Gemara then says, what do you mean? Dilma machshava udilo pasla, but lina pasla. And it's, why are you connecting those two things? Just because machshava lo pasla doesn't mean that lina is not posel, they're not necessarily connected. Tashma, let's try another source. Parim anisrafim usirim anisrafim moalim bahem mishu hukdeshu. As soon as you designate the animal and you say, this is going to be, I'm going to use this animal for my chatat, there's already a din of me'ila. Nishchitu hukshiru, once they're slaughtered then, as we're talking about different stages, as soon as you designate it, it already has a din of me'ila, meaning if you misuse it, right, you use it for your own purposes, you're chayav me'ila. You bring an asham me'ila, you pay. Nishchitu if once you slaughter it, then it can already become pasul. Either it's full yom comes in contact with it, and mechusar kipurim can pasul it, and with lina. Oh, here you see it explicitly. Lina, right? There you have it. So, my lav linat basar. Aren't we assuming they mean if you leave over the meat overnight? They say, oh, no, linat imurim. You could say, what happens? The parim nisrafim, another thing that happens about it, in other words, the meat gets taken out, but we do burn a few of the parts on the mizbech. So when we talk about lina there, we mean once you shecht it, there could be a psul of lina by the imurim, because those get burned in the mizbeach. But since we're not going to burn the meat on the mizbeach, there's no psul of lina here, or at least you can't necessarily prove that there is. Now they say, what do you mean it's talking about lina and imurim? Look at the end of that source. V'hami dekatane seifa, kulam mo'alim behem bebeit hadeshen, ad shiutach habasar. Everything has me'ila for it, right? Even until the meat is already all burnt, basically. Okay?
Decomposed,
that's a good word. Decomposed, okay? And therefore, what do you see here? They're talking about me'ila by the meat. So therefore, they must have in the resha also been talking about lina of the meat. So mi desefa basar resha nami basar. So now they say, no, midiria, seifa basar, resha imurim. No, you can simply say, the first case was basar, the second case was imurim. Okay, last source, tashma, detani Levi, sheirab bahem psul b'yitziatan. So Levi says, the irab bahem psul b'yitziatan, that there was what was this case? Right, when you take the meat out, you burn it in the Beit Habira, if the psul happened b'yitziatan. So what kind of psul could happen b'yitziatan? My love, lina, right? In other words, once you take it out, before you burn it, what could easily happen to it? It was left overnight. So there you see, if it's b'yitziatan, we're obviously talking about the meat, not the imurim, because the imurim stayed inside. So they say, no, psul tuma, psul yitzia. You can say very simply that they were talking about a psul of tuma. And then you don't have to assume that what happened to it on its way out was the psul of lina. It could have been the psul of tuma or the psul of yitzia. So we don't, in fact, have an answer whether there's a psul of lina for the parim and istrafim and the seirim and istrafim, whether lina is relevant to it or not, to the meat. Okay? And they want to differentiate, potentially, because the meat doesn't get eaten by, you know, or burned in the mizbeach inside. It's a whole different thing, and maybe there's no din of lina by this. Okay, tomorrow we'll start with a whole bunch of questions.